So let's dive into Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Beis, where we really saw, in many ways for us, that was our jumping off point into the sort of a lot of the core issues of Nesin HaStam. But just to reopen where we left off, when we ended our limud of going weiter in Kol HaBasar and began our weeks of Chazara, so we had closed the very, very brief Chazara survey of where we had been in Kol HaBasar, and we'll just open with that again and then sort of locate where we are, what we're going to zoom in on. You remember we had sort of charted out in the beginning of the parak, our focus had been on the Shem Basar B'Chalav, and that the Kuf Gimel and Kuf Dalid was a focus on the fact that there is, you know, there is an Isser Basar B'Chalav, and that Isser Basar B'Chalav, as we saw, Kuf Yud Gimel, is and it really came up in the way we showed him deal with the third word in the parak on Kuf Gimel, Kol HaBasar Asur, the fourth word, Kol HaBasar Asur Levashel B'Chalav. There are three Isur, the three forbidden Pu'ulos, there are three forbidden Masim. There's an Isser Bishel, and an Isser Achila, and an Isser Hana. You're not allowed to cook Basar and Chalav together, and once they've been cooked together, you're not allowed to eat them, nor have any other Hana from them. Those are all Dinim De'oraisa, and they all flow from the single pasuk fragment, which is repeated three times in Chumash, in Mishpatim and Kisisa, then again in Chumash Devarim, Lo Sefashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. That five word sentence, that five word pasuk fragment, there's a lot there. It speaks of Bishol and the Gedi and the Chalev Ha'em, and as we began to see in the opening blot and a half for the parak, and that had sent us already to elsewhere, to Kuf Yud Gimel, and to Kuf Yud Dal, and to Kuf Tazayin, that this Isser Basar B'Chalav min HaTorah depends upon having something which qualifies as Basar min HaTorah. It's similar enough to Gedi to be called Basar min HaTorah in the context of Basar B'Chalav, and we pass that means Basar Behema, for starters, and something which constitutes Chalav min HaTorah. Obviously, it's all that obviously there's no such thing as chalev of, but halacha lemaisa we also hold that chalev chaya is not milchik min HaTorah, and moreover, chalev mesa is not milchik min HaTorah. Milk that's found in a dead animal or in a behemah shchuta is not the milk in the udder is not milchik min HaTorah. If you have basar daraisa and chalav daraisa, and they are combined in a method that's referred to as Bishol, so then number one, to combine them derech Bishol is the Isser of Bishol Basar B'Chalav, and if they have been combined derech Bishol, whether by you or by someone else, it doesn't matter. But if the Basar Darais and the Chalav Darais have been combined derech Bishol, so then they are forbidden min haTorah ba'achila uvehana derech Bishol Asra Torah. That we saw was a Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning, Pei Zayin, based on a Rashba, working off of various lines in the Bavli. The Hotzi HaKasav Achila B'Lashon Bishol, the reason why the Torah keeps saying in all three places Lo Sevashel, even though only one of them refers to Isra Bishol. Other two are talking about the Isra of Achila or of Hana, but Hotzi HaKasav Achila B'Lashon Bishol Lomar Lacha the Derech Bishol Asur Torah. That teaches me the only time that min haTorah I'm not allowed to eat or have enough from Basar B'Chalav is if they were combined Derech Bishol. Once it's not Basar min haTorah, or it's not Chalav min haTorah, or it's not combined Derech Bishol, then I'm dealing maximum with an Isser D'Rabbanan. And that had been a discussion, you remember, on Daf Kuf Dalam Beis, about different ways, Kuf Dalam Av, Kuf Dalam Beis, and later in the parak, different ways of combining Basar B'Chalav that might not be Derech Bishol, whether they're totally cold, or even if it's Bichli Sheni. Because in the world of Bishol, for instance, Shabbos Daf Mem, in terms of the Malach of Bishol, Bishol typically, at least in principle, only takes place with Kli Rishon, not with Kli Sheni. Kli Rishon, again, is the Kli in which things were heated, the pot, for instance. Whereas Kli Sheni is a kli that you to which you transfer the food out of the pot. If I move the soup from the pot to the bowl, the pot is a kli rishon, but the soup bowl is presumably a kli sheni. And if you have, let's say, fleishig soup, meat soup, in a bowl, and I pour in milk, I'm not allowed to eat that midrabanan. But it's not basa b'chal of daraisa, because it's only combined in a kli sheni, and kli sheni ain bishul be kli sheni, and therefore that's not basa b'chal of daraisa. Or if it's sonin b'tsonin, I have a cold slice of cheese and a cold slice of deli, I'm not allowed to eat them together midrabanan, but they're not basa b'chal of daraisa. And as we discussed, one of the nafkaminas in whether something is aser to eat min haTorah midrabanan, whether something is basar bichalav deraisa or basar vichalav midrabanan, is that only when it's drabanan, you only have isra chila, but not isra hana or an isra bishal. That was significant. Now, this was an interesting bridge, this question of what's called bishal. That was an interesting bridge into the world of Tom, which comes up very heavily, halacha l'maisa and basa b'chalav, as well as in other areas of kashrus. And that brings us to Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and to Tzadi Vav, and to Kuf Ches, and to Kuf Yud Gimel, some of the places we have been looking within the Masechta and beyond in terms of the world of Tom Ke'ikr and the practicalities of Tom Ke'ikr. Because it's worth noting, for instance, that there are ways of spreading flavor that don't necessarily qualify narrowly as bishul. Remember, in organizing what issues we had dealt with in the world of Tom Ke'ikr, practical Tom Ke'ikr, which you remember from a Shulchan Aruch perspective, had taken us to Siman Tzadi Aleph, and to Siman Tzadi Gimel, to Siman Tzadi Hey, to Siman Tzadi Vav, and beyond Bas B'chol as well. We spoke about five different questions that come up in terms of trying to work out how Nisina's Tam plays itself out. And the first most fundamental question, and that's where we're going to begin now, is a question of how. In other words, what are the methods of Tam transfer? Just because I have Basar and Chalav sitting next to each other, or I have Kosher and Treif sitting next to each other, Asr and Mutter, and just because they're near each other doesn't mean there's going to be a transfer of flavor. If there's no method of Tom transfer, then there's no transfer of flavor. If I have a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of cheese sitting on top of each other, we do not assume, number one, they weren't combined derech bishul, and therefore they don't become bas b'chal of deraisa. But more than that, if they're just cold sitting on top of one another, there may be some grease, there was contact, there may be some surface residue, maybe some be'en, residue on the surface, you have to clean the surface. But once I clean the surface, they were just cold and there was no heat or any other method of time transfer, so as long as I clean the surfaces, the rest of the food is fine. There's no reason to assume there was flavor from one that got absorbed into the other. Whether it's a piece of milchik and a piece of fleishik, there's no method of tam transfer, just clean the surfaces and each one remains kosher and either milchik or fleishik respectively. Or if I have something kosher and something treif that were touching each other. I had a cold carrot sitting on top of cold bacon, most likely. Again, unless there's some method of tam transfer here, I'll say, look, there may be some grease of the bacon on the surface of the carrot. Okay, you got to clean the surface of the carrot, but the carrot itself remains kosher. The bacon is treif, okay, but the carrot is kosher, unless there was some method of tam transfer. The most fundamental and the most common method of tam transfer is heat, and it's important to realize, just to more fully contextualize this in the world of Basa B'chalav, heat does two things. Heat causes tam transfer, heat also causes bishul. Part of derech bishul is that there's a blending of flavors through heat. But not every time that there's a blending of flavors is it bishul. So there could be cases where something may pick up a flavor, but it wouldn't be basa b'chalav d'oraisa because it's not derech bishul. Whether that's, we said, a machlokas harishonim about kli sheni, Everyone agrees it's a Gemara and Daf Kuf Dal that Klisheni doesn't create Bas B'chav D'Ayis because it's not Derech Bishel. Does Klisheni cause transfer of flavor? That's a Machlokas Tosfos Ramban or Machmel Chetchila Mekel B'Dieved. But there are certainly other methods that do definitely cause time transfer, but aren't hot, and the Bliya B'tzonein, therefore it's not Derech Bishel. And the first example of that was our Sugya and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, Maliach Keroseach. That if something's salty, it can cause an infusion of flavor into something else. Now, how do we get into that? So number one, the idea of, let's zoom out a little bit, the idea of transfer of this whole notion of tam, of spreading a flavor from one food to another food, that appears, we looked at two Mishnayos in Maseches Chulin where that appears, and Tzadi Vav Amud Beis in Gid Hanash, Perek Gid Hanasha, and our Mishnah Kufches Amud Aleph in Perek Kalabasa, the Mishnah of Tipas Chalav. Both of them talk about the idea of flavor being transferred and absorbed into another food via heat. The heat is engine number one, is method of transmission number one for time transfer. And both of them also, as an aside, both Mishnayos talk about the question of how much flavor went into the other food. Is it going to be batel or not? And that we'll get to in greater detail later on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah Kuf Ches Amud Aleph also add the question of how far, which came also this morning we were learning when we were surveying the Maseches Tfilyom, right, to figure out every time you have a situation of time transfer, you have to figure out how far, if the milk fell in meat and it may have diffused and gotten absorbed, how much of the meat would have absorbed the milk. Okay. Those Mishnayos are talking about time transfer via heat, that method of time transfer. Okay, you can see the second chart. Right, so again, the two Mishnayos we just spoke about, Tzadi Vav and Kuf Ches, talk about heat as a method of time transfer. Again, you see in this chart that whether Klisheni can transfer, it definitely doesn't, not called Bishel in terms of Kriyas Basa B'chalav D'Oraisa or in Hilchos Shabbos, at least in principle, whether it can cause time transfer or not, that was a Machlokas Tosfos Ramban. And this heat as a method of time transfer. So that's the Mishnah Tzadi Vav and the Mishnah Kuf Ches, and obviously many other sources as well. again, that not does heat cause Bishel, heat could also cause transfer of flavor. Here's a method of time transfer. It's not a Bishel because it doesn't involve heat. It's a Bliya Betzonin, but it is a Bliya, although it's Betzonin, and that is Maliach. So where do we have that? So that we came across. It's indicated is merumas in the Mishnayos in the second to last parak, the penultimate parak of Mishnayos Trumas. There are 11 prakim in Maseches Trumas. So parak Yud has a lot about Nesinas Tam. There are Mishnayos there that indicate there are merames that maliach could cause a transfer of flavor even without any heat. And as we saw, it's explicit in the Tosefta. Tosefta in Maseches Trumas, which was quoted in our Gemara, in our Perek. Right here in our Sugya, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta in the 8th Perek of Tosefta Trumos. Excuse me, the beginning of the 9th parak of Tosefta Trumos. It was quoted on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Bavli quotes this Tosefta about fish. You have kosher fish and non-kosher fish, and they're being salted together. Now, the Tosefta says something which was interesting. Tosefta said that there's a sense of direction. Number one, that there is the Maliach does call it Tom transfer, even though everything is cold. And number two, that it has an interesting directionality. The way the sort of just the physical or chemical dynamic maliach is that the davar maliach will push its flavor out. The fact that a food is salty will cause its flavor to get absorbed into other things. The fact that food is salty doesn't draw its flavors in. So if you have two foods next to each other, one is salty, One is Maliach, and the other one is Tafel. Tuf. Tuf Pelamed is bland. So there'll only be a one-way transfer of flavor. The salty food will give its flavor into the bland food, but not vice versa. So if the salty food is kosher and the bland food is treif, the salty food remains kosher. But if the salty food is treif, the bland food is kosher, so then the bland food will absorb the treif of flavor of the salty food. That's already a tosefta. That's already tanaim. Quoted again in the Bavli Kufi Gimel Rav, was being added in our sugya in Kufi Rav and Beis, and actually being debated in our sugya. It's a machlokas amaram. Shmuel versus Rav Meshem Yechanan. They seem to be arguing over whether Maliach Kuroseich or not. And what we saw based on Tosfos, it's a little strange. How are the amaram arguing over what's already beferish in the tanaim, beferish in the tosefta? So we saw based on a very brief Tosfos, the top of Kufi Rav and Beis, Dimas Maliach. And everyone agrees that in principle there is a concept of maliach, but what they might be debating is how broadly does it apply? Maybe different substances lend themselves to more or less absorption. So specifically, what our sugi is adding, we passing like Shmuel that we say maliach kroseich here as well. The chiddush is that up until now, both the Mishnayos, Tzadi Vav and Kuf Ches about heat, and the Tosefta in Trumas about salt, those sources in Tanaim were talking about food to food transfer. Going down on the chart to question number five. What's being added on Kuf Yud Aleph is also such a thing as food to kli transfer. That's a chiddush. I could have said, okay, two foods are being cooked together, two foods are being salted together, so one gives flavor to the other. But the fact that I could say there could be a two-step process where food number one gives its flavor into the kli, I'm not eating the kli, so who cares? No, because later on I'm going to wash the kli off, there's no residue, surface residue, but I'm going to use that kli a second time at a later date, a later time of day with food number two. And the idea that the kli absorbed flavor that it later exudes step two into food number two, that's a further chiddush. A further chiddush that the Tosefta has in Trumas quoted later in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in terms of heat. Kederu shebishel b'basar lo yivashel b'chalav. You're not allowed to cook milchiks in a clean fleishik pot. Right, so that's an example of this food to kli and then kli to food transfer in the world of Chom, in the world of heat, Shmuel, and that's still Tanaim in the Tosefta and Trumas. Shmuel and Ravin are debating how about food to kli transfer in the world of salt, in the world of Maliach. So maybe the Kalim are too hard. Who says Kalim can absorb flavor? Yeah, Kalim can absorb flavor if you're cooking food in them. But if you're just salting food in them, Ravin seems to say, Kalim don't absorb flavor through salt. Kalim are hard, they're not soft, porous food. But we accept Shmuel, but we do not distinguish. We say, no. Even Kalim can absorb flavor through Maliach, and that's why if I have the example Shmuel is talking about, Ka'ar Shemal Babasar, I have a pan, I was salting meat, I have kosher meat, kosher, but it still is full of blood. I have to salt it to get the blood out, right? That's Sugyan Kufi Gim, later in Kufi Gim, Amaral. That you need malicha in order to draw out the meat of geshachtana, draw out the blood from geshachtana meat to make it kosher to eat. So the question is, okay, so I'm using malicha there to make the meat kosher, to remove the iser dam. The question is it also going to create a maliach kroseach phenomenon, where it's drawing out the blood from the meat, but it's also perhaps causing the blood to go into the kli? Because now I have a salty blood, a briny blood, all this blood that's coming out of the meat, it's all blood, and therefore not kosher, and salty. So I have a non-kosher maliach liquid, it's sitting in the pan, so maliach kroseach. It's the davar maliach, the blood, is going into the pan. So Shmuel says that pan just became treif. The pan that you salted and became treif, because it's balua midam, and therefore, I'm not going to eat the pan, obviously, who's eating pans? But he says, if you later on take a piece of hot food and put it down on that pan, that's going to draw out the blood in the pan, the tama balua, and it's going to make the second hot food treif. That's the shita of Shmuel, and that is how the Gemara says at the bottom of the Amud, that's how we paskin. Not at the bottom of the Amud, later on the Amud, right, we paskin like Shmuel. The kar shemach babasar lo yivat. The kar shemach babasar, you can't put hot meat, hot fish, hot whatever, hot pasta on that pan because it could draw out the flavor of the blood. Now, one major issue that Rishonim dealt with, a practical issue and a conceptual issue. the practical issue is, what does this mean? I mean, every single time you salt meat, you're supposed to salt. Remember, every kosher piece of meat is supposed to, or almost every, well, I get into details, because there are at least mikra din other ways. You could roast instead of salting, at least mikra din. But in general, meat, kosher meat, undergoes a salting process. Kosher meat undergoes a salting process. So if you're running a kosher kitchen, you know, back before several decades ago, salting typically took place at home. It didn't take place in the butcher shop. So a kosher kitchen is going to have a pan for salting, and you're going to be salting again, and you're using that pan, who knows, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of times. So what do you mean? The question is, so you told me I can't put hot fish on that pan because the heat of the fish will draw out the flavor of the blood. And how about salting in that pan? I salted piece of meat number one in the morning in this pan, and the Shmuel says, okay, so now the pan absorbed the blood. So what's going to happen if I salt another piece of meat in the afternoon in the pan? So the salt. So it's going to draw out, not hot, but salt. Malich kiroseach. So it's going to draw out the flavor of blood from the morning back into the meat, into the second piece of meat. Isn't that a problem? How do you ever use a salting pan more than once? That's sort of like a practical question that Rishon were grappling with. And we said there are two or three answers to that question. One answer was that of the Rush. The Rush's answer was that, well, it's not always true that salting meat in a pan makes the pan treif. It's the Rush said it depends what type of pan you're using. It's only maliach kiroseach is only going to drive the flavor into the pan if the pan does not have any holes in it. If the pan is just a solid pan and there's a pool of salty, briny blood sitting in the bottom of the pan until you drain it out. So it's sitting there for a while, for a few minutes or more. Okay. So then that's nivla into the pan. He says, but if you have drainage in your pan, you have holes in your pan, it's a kli menukav, and the blood is just dripping off the meat and almost immediately rolling out of the pan through those holes, draining out. So then the pan never becomes treif. Rush makes so kimta pshat. The whole problem of kar shemoch babasar, that it's bolea, the blood, only if it's a kli she'ena manukav, but not if it's a kli manukav. And the Rush says, I have a garan kuf yugimel that both provides basis for this concept and explains why it's a solution to our problem. Because the Gemara says in Kuf Yigimel Amanav near the bottom, in terms of Hilchos Melicha, doing the type of Melicha you're supposed to do to kasher the meat, you need a Kli HaManukav. Melicha only works when the Kli is supposed to, the pan, the Melicha pan is supposed to be perforated for this reason. You need drainage so that the blood actually will be effectively removed from the meat, as opposed to the meat sitting in the briny blood, reinfecting, recontaminating the meat. So the Rush says, for the same reason, by the same logic, that you need the manukov so that it doesn't get back into the meat, you need the manukov, and the manukov works so it doesn't get absorbed into the pan. In other words, Maliach Kirosech is not an instant process. So if within a matter of a couple of seconds, all the blood is draining out, it's not sitting in place for a couple of minutes, then there's no problem aliach k'roseach. It's not going to get back into the meat, and by the same logic, it's not going to get into the pan, and therefore your pan remains kosher. And therefore your pan is not going to reinfect the next piece of meat. Because there is no maleach k'roseach going on here, because it's a kli menukav. Now, of course, it's a strong and weak answer for the same reason. In other words, it's on the one hand, it's true that anytime you do a normal, proper malicha, you're doing kli menukav, and therefore, you know, this is not a problem. How come you're not worried about the flavor from last time's blood gain in? On the other hand, what that means is that you've reduced our Gemara, which sounds so broad, Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar, into only talk about a case you did the Malicha inappropriately. So that's nice in terms of it not preventing a problem with how do you do Malicha again. On the other hand, it's a somewhat dachuk read of our Gemara. I mean, Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar and Kuf Yudav only means when you did it wrong. And then when you messed up, you may have messed up your meat and you messed up your pan. So the Chachmei Sfarad were not so happy with that ukimta. So the Ravid already is bothered. Really? That's all the Gemara means? Is only talking about the Kara Shemach Babasa, Kara Sheina Menukeves, Shemach Babasa. So the Ramban and his Talmidim and his Beis Medrash, they moved away from the Rush. They moved away from this idea, which again predates the Rush. But it's sort of this larger machlokus of, is this din of Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar, does it apply to Ka'ar Menukevis? The Rosh says no. The Chachmei Sfarad say yes. Of course, then they need another answer to the Rosh's question. The Rajba has more than one answer. We focus on one answer, which is that, yes, it's true that the Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar, even if it's a proper Ka'ar Menukevis, does become treif. So the Ramban says, that's right. Your kashrim pan, your salting pan, itaka is treif. It's taka treif. And that's why Shmuel said, chalila, don't put hot food on it. The hot food will absorb the flavor, the blood that's nivla into the pan. But to salt food again in is fine because of what we said before, that maliach is unlike heat, maliach is always a one-way process. It's only when one food is, one item is salty, the other one is not, the flavor only transfers from the Davar Maliach to the Davar Tafel, but not in reverse. So the Ramban says, again, there are those who disagree with this, the Ramban says, the pan is not considered to be a Davar Maliach. You clean the pan off. The pan is a Davar Tafel. The next piece of meat and blood, they're called Maliach. Okay. So the flavor is always going into the pan, but it's never emerging from the pan. Because Davar Maliach only puts his flavor out. The pan itself is not a Davar Maliach. The pan itself is a Davar Tafel. So that's why it's not a problem. So again, what emerges from this is Halacha L'maisa, Machlokas Rosh versus Chachmei Sfarad, whether Shmuel's din of Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar does apply only to Ka'ar She'enim Menukeves, as the Rosh says, because Maliach K'roseach takes some time, and if the blood is draining out right away, it won't be nivla into the pan, or no. Chachmei Sfarad said, no, it even applies to a normal case of Ka'ar Shemalch Babasar, where it is Menukeves. Then you have to give an explanation of why you're ever allowed to reuse the same pan to do Malicha a second time. And again, the Ramban's answer to that is Asar Lecha Baroseach, but Mutar Limloach Ba, because Malicha is a one-way deal. And it's always going into the pan, but it's never coming out of the pan because Ramban assumes the pan itself is not called a davar maliach. Some of the other issues that we spoke about briefly, number one, the Gemara in Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph has a discussion about how salty is salty. In the world of maliach k'roseach, it's a Gemara in Kuf Yud Beis, a little bit of salt, if I lay a piece of cheese on top of a big bowl of ketchup, you know, I'm not going to say that, the cheese is a little bit salty, so now the entire bowl of ketchup became milchik. No, or if it's treif for cheese. I'm not going to say, oh, the cheese is a little bit salty, so now maliach k'roseach, the whole bowl of ketchup is milchik. No, I mean, again, if you weren't careful and it got all mushed around, it may be a problem. But if you think you can carefully, nothing, it is the cheese just placed gently on top of a big bowl of ketchup, so you could, and the ketchup sort of holds it up, it didn't sink in, so you could carefully, gently scoop off the top layer and the rest of the ketchup will remain kosher and parve. Again, assuming that you really know that the cheese didn't move around. Why? But the cheese, all cheese has some salt in it, and for that matter, not that's relevant, ketchup has some salt in it too. The answer is yes, but there's a shear for how salty it has to be. That's the Gemara Kuf Yud Beis Amar Alpha. Eino Nechal Machmas Milcha. Further, Machal Yisham, exactly how you define that, but there is a shear for how salty is salty. We mentioned there's another issue we could mention in passing, another issue that comes up, the question of how far does flavor travel? Like we saw the Mishnah Kufres raised in terms of heat. Does the milk that folds a piece of meat only spread throughout that piece of meat, or does it go even further to the other pieces of meat in the pot? So that's a big discussion. That's a big discussion by Maliach, and it may depend on whether the food that's absorbing is fatty or not, okay? And finally, the very end of Siman Sadi Aleph, which is in part devoted to Belia Betzonein, whether totally Betzonein, as we had in Kuf Dalet, or in Ali de Malicha, at the very end of Siman Sadi Aleph, we are reminded, going back to our first chart, that Maliach does create Tom transfer, but does not create Basar B'chol of De'oraisa, because it's not Derech Bishel. Now, let's just remember once again what that means. It means, number one, if you're Moleach, something kosher and something treif together, there's going to be a problem, okay? Like we spoke of, the Tosefta said about the kosher fish and non-kosher fish are being salted together. Or, as Shmuel said in Arsin Kuf Yud Aleph, the blood was nivla into the pan. It also can be true by basar b'chalav. Right? If I'm salting cheese and salami together, I cannot eat them because the salami picked up the cheese flavor and the cheese picked up the salami flavor. So I'm not allowed to eat them. It's just that I'm not allowed to eat them midrabanan, but I am allowed to eat them in hatorah. They do not become basar b'chalav daraisa, even though their flavors are intermingled. They don't become basar b'chalav daraisa because Derech Bishel Asra Torah. Let's end where we began. The definition of the Cheftz of Bas B'chav Do'oraisa is something Fleishik Min HaTorah and something Milchik Min HaTorah, which were combined Derech Bishel, which means that the flavors were intermingled using Bishel, which means heat, and specifically heat of a Kli Rishon. So here, if the flavors were intermingled using salt, if I left a piece of meat in salty milk for a while, the meat will absorb the flavor of the milk. I'm not allowed to eat that meat, even if I wash off the surface. But I'm not allowed to eat that meat midirabanan. It wasn't combined, the flavors were intermingled, but they weren't combined derech bishel. So it's a iser basar v'chalav midirabanan. It's the same as eating a piece of cheese and a piece of meat together. Now, that's also, as a matter of fact, as we know, we even have, that's a sugya later in the beginning of the first paragraph, you even have to wait between them. Certainly can't eat them together. That's an issur drabanan, but unless they're mingled, unless the flavors are intermingled derech bishel, it's issur bas b'chav min drabanan, asur b'achila, but it's not issur bas b'chav min ha-Torah, and therefore it's mutter to mingle them in this way, if I plan to serve them only to non-Jews. And it's mutter to have hana. I would, in theory, be permitted to be paid to deliver such a basar v'chalav drabanan, to be paid to deliver to a non-Jew. That would not be a violation of the Isra'ana, because that's only midirabanan.